What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of From Broadway to Belmont. I'm your host, Krista Selms, and with me, as always, is my wonderful co-host, Kevin Koff. Kevin, jump and say hello.
What's up? Good to be back. It's a great day. Approaching episode 100. Almost there. I think this might be 99. I'm not sure. 98 or 99, but good to be here. Good to be back with you, podcasting it up. I'm in a great mood. So, hey.
You're smiling ear to ear right now. You all but soiled Buffalo's chances of making the playoffs right now.
Well, I don't want to go that far yet, but that was a huge win. We're recording this on Tuesday, March 7th, for those who are not aware. The New York Islanders just clamped down on Buffalo with a nice 3-2 victory. You'll have to see it. We both watched. I'm sure I watched it more intently than you did, but we both saw it.
Yeah, I was kind of watching in the back. It was kind of, yeah. It was on while I was doom scrolling TikTok.
Yeah, I mean, huge. I won't spend too much time on it just because this is kind of the trade deadline episode, but huge freaking winner for the Islanders. Goals from Cizikas, Bailey, and Hudson Fashing. Dog. Absolute dog Hudson Fashing is. For everybody complaining out there, I don't care. The rule book says that if it's a kick, it's off your foot or skate, and you have to redirect it into the net. Kick into the net. He was just redirecting it off his knee. I don't want to hear it. It was a good goal. Everybody's complaining on Twitter, at least Sabres fans from what I've seen. But he was awesome tonight. Cizikas played, I think, his best game as an Islander, which I tweeted at, and people were like, oh, the playoffs, which is a fair gripe. But, I mean, he was amazing. It was just, man. That was the feel-good win that they needed.
Yeah, I mean, can't really say much else. I can't really say much else outside of that.
Just in terms of the playoff implications, too, before we hop into everything else, I mean, that basically puts the Islanders in control of their own destiny, you know? They've been hot recently. Let me see. I'm just going to check their recent schedule, just see how many games they've won. I'm not going to go through all the games. Beat Detroit, lost to the Wild in a shootout, beat the Jets. Beat the Jets again, beat the Penguins, lost to the Kings. So they're hot. They're gaining points. They basically control their own destiny now over everybody but Pittsburgh because they have that regulation overtime win tiebreaker. Maybe I'm stupid because Buffalo apparently is 31. Regardless, we have 33 now, I think. Either way, the Islanders are 6 points up on Buffalo. They're 6 points up on – yeah, this app isn't updated. Sorry, so that's not correct. They're 6 points up on Buffalo. I think they're six up on Ottawa now. Florida's making a push, but I don't know what to make about them. And Washington and Detroit both kind of gave up, as we'll get into later. But, man, the Islanders look good. And they're without Barzal and Pageau. Sorokin's playing at his best. Tonight was the first time in 9 games that the team gave up a third period goal, which is pretty nuts when you actually think about it. That was the first time that happened to former Islander Kyle Pozo. But, you know, I couldn't be – I'm going to say this is like I'm their dad. Like, I legit could not be prouder of the way this team has played and fought for the last 48 hours of games, I guess you could say. I'm thinking it's back-to-back. But the last two games against Detroit and Buffalo, I mean, season's on the line. The players stepped up. It's just it's been a fun time to watch Islander hockey. So I'm excited for the future. And Boston, I'll say it now. I don't know. The Islanders play tough style in April. That's all I'm saying.
Hot take. We were talking about it right before the podcast. Boston, I feel like, is too legit. Like, there, something's going to happen.
Something's
going to
happen.
They're like either going to be bashing. They're either going to be a first or a second round exit. That's my guarantee. I probably
hope it's a first.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a first, that would just be yes. Insane.
Brock Nelson owns them. You know, I'm not going to talk about the fact that we lost like 7-1 against them like last week.
And yeah, they've been just pounding the Rangers every time they played. I mean,
they've been curb stomping. They're on a 10 game win streak right now, and nobody talks about it. But like people say, I think it was some Islander said it many, many years ago in the 80s, or maybe it's just a general hockey term. You got 3 seasons. You got the first half of the regular season, the second half, and the playoffs. Playoffs are a whole new season, man, and the Islanders clamped down like they did tonight, and, you know, you got Ilya Sorokin in the net. It's obviously not easy to go against Linus Ullmark, but you got Sorokin in the net. You take your chances to win 4 out of 7, but being in the playoffs would be a win for me right now. I would be thrilled just to see some playoff hockey at UBS, as I'm sure the ownership would be as well.
So. Yeah, they would definitely be happy about that, especially because a week or so or so when we were talking about it, or maybe it was like 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Fuck, the Islanders dropped the game to someone.
Something bad. I forget. It was something really bad.
Yeah, it was like they dropped the game to someone, and you're like, that could have been the fucking season right there. And I'm like, yeah, if they miss playoffs, man, the owners are going to be pissed.
Damn, what game was it? Oh, it, honestly, it was probably like the stretch where they lost the Canucks 6-5, and then they lost in overtime to the Habs and Senators. All I know is, it feels like every other week I'm like, they're back, and then it's like the season's canceled. Lenny, my girlfriend, says that to me all the time. She's like, you know, like every 2 weeks you flip from like saying like, oh, we're so back, to being like, oh, the season's over, forget it. She's got a lot of highs and lows, but you know, I'm thrilled with how they're playing down the stretch. Big stretch of games coming up against, they're playing Pittsburgh on Thursday. I mean, that's huge. Sorry, I don't mean to take so much time with the Islander for the trade deadline stuff. Pittsburgh game is huge. Washington game also huge. And they go out west for some late night aisles. So we'll see. What were you cheering about?
Did the Penguins expose Jared McCann in the expansion draft, or did he sign with Seattle?
They traded him to Toronto, who exposed him.
Well, both teams are idiots, because he's the first Seattle Kraken in the franchise history to score 30 goals. So
it's almost like you shouldn't give up on a forward before he turns like 24. Like,
yeah, man, 30 goals. 31, I think, now. Yeah, he literally just scored. I'm getting pumped again in fantasy. Hopefully we got another late week comeback for me. But I'm getting pumped right now. It's like almost 30.
Also about McCann. He was drafted by Vancouver and got traded to Florida, so I mean, he's bounced around. Glad he found a home, but
yeah,
ooh, yeah, you are. Oof.
Yeah, I'm getting pumped.
Right, I'm gonna tie matchup too. But yeah, Islanders are doing good. You love to see it. Thursday is gonna be huge, and that's that.
Devils lost. Thank God.
I'm just happy with how they're going, especially with the injuries. So you love to see it.
Yeah, I mean, Islanders look good right now. 2-game win streak. Love that. Rangers. Not playing the best hockey, but there's a caveat there. If you're an old on Facebook and you're complaining that this team doesn't have enough grit, this team's been playing like four men down for like the last like three games. So shut up. Have they looked great? No, but again, they lost one of their top four defensemen. They lost two players. The league said no to an emergency recall the last couple of games, but they I guess changed their ways because. Johnny Hockey, Johnny Brodzinski's back. So
it's gonna be very interesting in the playoffs how that roster performs. I mean, I don't know.
Hey man, if they can just get everyone healthy by like next week or even this weekend, I'm very happy with where his team's at. Just chemistry, just keep playing the way they play.
I was gonna say, yeah. They got a gel. I feel like I saw, and then I'll shut up and I'll let you talk about the Rangers because I haven't watched them too much. The one thing I did see in the Boston game, and I saw it on Twitter too, actually, after the fact, which made me feel a little validated in my feelings, was that it felt like Panarin was really trying to force feed Kane a little bit.
100%. Yeah. I mean, I was watching the game with my dad, and I'm like, Panarin's just literally telegraphing all his passes.
It was so obvious.
So they're just
I could have picked it off.
Yeah. I'm like, anyone could have just thrown a stick in the way and giveaway or pass deflected. So, yeah, he was telegraphing everything. 100% agree with you on that. I think Panarin more than Kane wanted just to hear the call, you know, playback after the game of whoever's calling the game, Panarin to Kane or Kane to Panarin, and give him some nostalgia. But it's like, brother, just play hockey and win the game. Those moments will come. Just give it some time. So something I saw today that came out of Rangers media. I don't really have much to talk about either because the Rangers haven't played since last Saturday. They're on a four game break. They play in Montreal on Thursday.
You think they got the trade deadline?
Yeah. I really don't have much to say about the Rangers. I mean, they looked like shit. And the caveat is they were down three guys, so they were only playing 11 skaters, five defensemen for three games.
It's a little questionable.
Oh shit! Yeah. So practice today came out that this was the first practice for Kane, I think, in like 2 weeks. He's not.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, like he hasn't, like his last practice was in Chicago, and I don't think he was practicing when they were sitting him. If they were sitting him, I don't think they were, but I don't think he was practicing. This was his first time since he joined the Rangers. So what, he joined them last Thursday, and then they played on Saturday, and today was his first practice with the team. So he's been here for almost a week and didn't practice there once, literally was in the lineup. So yeah, just keep gelling. Important part of the season coming up for them. Like I said, they got two winnable games coming up, Montreal. And I mean, Buffalo is going to be a test, but it's a winnable game at the end of the day.
Can the Rangers please win a game that the Islanders need them to win? The last three, it's like you guys have blown it. It's unbelievable. Please win that game against
Buffalo. And then they got Hell Week, or 2 weeks of Hell Week. The podcast will be fucking miserable. In a couple weeks,
turn back the clock to 2021, baby.
I mean, yeah, it's like the COVID season all over again. We're just playing teams three or four times.
Can you imagine the scenes if both these teams make the playoffs? How electric that podcast is going to be!
It's going to be insane.
You gotta love to see it.
We're going to be the Hatfield and McCoys when they eventually play each other too. We're just not going to speak to each other. These 1 hours will be like our only back and forth, and it's just going to be like fuck you, no fuck you, no fuck you.
Yeah, there are no friends in the playoffs. Absolutely not. Sorry.
Our
friends Ethan and Michael. We'll say that you. I'm more lenient towards those two. Get no love from me.
So yeah, in way more important news, and what was I don't even think I should say like in recent. It's been this was the craziest trade deadline.
Especially because it was a week leading up. It feels like we're recording so late after the trade deadline. It was really only 3 days ago, but all the moves got made the week before. So
I mean. Credit to Lou. He's the one who really started this.
Up in the stands saying, Lou Bohorvat,
trade for him. January 30th, when he made that trade for Bohorvat, everything fell after that. There was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 48. Yeah, there was an insane amount of trades. I mean, he really like kicked the door open for
That's what he does.
All these trades to be happening because generally in years past, and you could attest to this, I can attest to this. One of your most favorite days of the year is NHL trade deadline because that's when you know everyone's going to be moving. There's going to be calls all day starting at 9 a.m.
to three.
You throw on ESPN or Sportsnet and you just watch and you just see who's going where. And I didn't really watch
that this year.
I watched it for a little bit, and I was just like, I had too much work I had to do.
There was nothing going on this year. It was all grinders.
It was all fourth line guys, role players, which you know is fine, and those players are the ones that make the difference for playoff teams. But all like the big pieces, they were gone way before the deadline.
Yeah, there were a few that didn't move, but like really nothing on deadline day, but. No complaints because there was so much excitement before.
So yeah, I start off
names. I mean, oh yeah, you go ahead. You can kick us off.
Yeah. So we'll start.
We'll do Rangers first.
Go ahead.
Okay. No, you can go. The big move, obviously, we've talked about before. Patrick Kane.
Finally official. Very happy with the trade. Just because I don't think. Well. Yeah, the Rangers really didn't need to give up a ton to get him, and in the end, they didn't. I think it was a conditional second-round pick or something, some change.
That turns into a first if...
Yeah, there's a lot of conditions to it, and I think what Drury did a really good job of in this trade and the Tarasenko trade is he traded some picks away, he traded some players away, but he was able to keep his first round, his better of the first round pick. A lot of the conditions, you know, he's really going for it, it seems like. And he really, I think, has a lot of confidence that this team can make a deep playoff push. Now we'll see we'll see whether or not that confidence is justified or anything. But, ultimately, Yeah, so the Kane trade, they acquired Patrick Kane and defenseman Cooper Zech from the Chicago Blackhawks in a three-team trade that included the Arizona Coyotes. The Blackhawks received defenseman Andy Walensky and a conditional second-round pick in the draft and a fourth-round pick in 2025 from the Rangers. And defenseman, I'm not even going to try, Vili, I'm not going to try to pronounce that name, Vili something from the Coyotes. And the Coyotes got a third-round pick in the 2025 draft from New York. So
the best part is, for a brief moment in history, just a millisecond, Patrick Kane was an Arizona Coyote. Great times. But, yeah, I think it was a fair trade both ways. I mean, good for Chicago for getting at least a second for a guy who legitimately forced his way to the Rangers, and good for the Rangers for getting good value for Kane and somehow being able to finagle the cap to do it. I mean, you have to do it if you have the chance. So I respect it both ways.
And the thing was, like, leading up to it is that
some gymnastics, man.
I think Drury. So where Drury failed was during the whole season. You could like send guys up and down to start saving up cap space, and he just did not.
That's what the Isles did. Yeah,
Jeff Gorton was a master of that. I mean, he was, whenever there was off days, he was sending guys up and down. If they had those two ways to just save that money,
it cruised a bit. Yeah.
So I hope Drury learned a lesson here. But so what I heard about this trade was that when they made the Tarasenko trade, they thought the Kane deal was pretty much off the table. And the closer they got to the deadline, apparently it seemed like if they can move a couple things here and there and finagle the money, like you said, that it was still on the table.
Or just glue poor Braden Schneider to the bench for a whole game.
Yep, yeah, you're not going to play, buddy.
That's wild to me. But hey, you got to do what you got to do.
And then I think it was him and I believe Ben Harper. They were...
Was it Carpenter too? Wasn't Carpenter?
Yeah, it was Carpenter. Sorry. Yeah, it was Ryan Carpenter. He got called up. He got dressed, sat on the bench, served a penalty, and then was on the ice for 13 seconds, I think, jumped in the play, and then went back to the bench, and that was his shift. He played 13 seconds.
Hey, whatever works, man. You know?
Yeah,
they figured it out. Better cash, so.
They figured it out. So, so Kane was the big asset. And then we'll go. I'll throw it over to you for the Islanders. Or you want me to just run through them all?
Why don't you do the one more Ranger, Kravtsov. I mean, touch on it.
Yeah, finally got rid of Kravtsov. I mean, it was a lose-lose for New York. The value, New York absolutely tanked it.
It was tough.
Yeah, it was
a cap move, but – man, I mean, that's tough for a ninth overall pick a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I hope it works out for him. He did get a point the other night, so hopefully
it works.
Apparently, though, his entry level deal expires, so there is the Vancouver does run the risk that he goes back to the KHL.
It really could happen. The one thing I will say, he doesn't really strike me as a talk it guy, which is going to be interesting. But yeah, I didn't even know that. That's a good point that he legitimately could go back to the KHL. But yeah, a bit tough to only get a seventh and Will Lockwood out of that one. He also kind of just – it was just a mess by both parties. You know, it's just kind of how it goes after a two-year saga.
Yeah. It sucked. When it happened, I was just kind of – when it happened, I was just kind of like, okay, this is – like,
eyes on the prize.
The trade stunk out loud. No one's going to say it didn't. But I think that, yeah, the bigger prize was just getting this monkey off New York, the New York Rangers back. It was a prospect that didn't work out. There was fault on management and the front office side of things. There was a fault on the player. And two wrongs don't make a right. So it was just best to part ways. Yeah, the return sucked, but ultimately it was like, the return sucks, and again, Vancouver is banking on a player staying that might not stay.
It's very fair, very fair. Not much with the Isles. They really made their big move, obviously, with Horvat. Traded a third-round pick to Toronto in one of Toronto's four-year moves for Pierre Engvall. Big boy, 6'5", good skater, good senses, never really got the chance there. It's a well-risk pick. They needed the forward depth so badly. I mean, you can't be playing Ross Johnson and Otto Koivula forever. I mean, Otto is still playing because Pajot and Barzal are hurt, but good to get a guy like Engvall, who provides a little bit more skill into the lineup over Ross Johnston. I think he got hurt tonight, which is sick. He didn't play the last about 15 minutes, but was out for the post-game hug. So he could have been benched, but I don't. He might have been benched, which is not a good sign immediately off the jump. But he looked all right in his first game against Detroit. Pretty low-risk move. He's got some upside. He's 25. No complaints here. That was the fastest rundown.
Also, interrupting trade talk. You got kind of chirped at on Twitter on the podcast account.
Oh, man. Was it the guy that said, ooh, what about the playoffs? Was
that him? Yeah, that guy. Then you haven't seen him in the playoffs.
Yeah, my bad. I haven't watched any Islander. I actually kind of like this guy. He does respond to a lot of our stuff, and he has some takes. But...
My fault, OG.
Wasn't familiar with the game. But, I mean, like... Yeah, I've seen him in the damn playoffs. He played a great game tonight. It was legitimately all – it was the Cizikas show. I don't want to hear it, but I did see that. I chose not to respond. The Vibes are too good.
Yeah, I can't blame you. Yeah, outside of the Rangers made all their big moves pretty early. Mikula Tarasenko, we dived into our golden boy. He's back. I don't even need to say his name. You know who I'm talking about. And then, Kane. And then, yeah, they got rid of Kravtsov, and they just traded some prospects for other prospects here and there. Yeah. That was pretty much it for the Rangers.
Rest in peace, Gustav's Rydal. Come on, man.
Yeah, who I'm pretty sure already signed an SHL deal for next season.
Damn.
I think, like, right after he got traded, like, 2 or 3 days later, it came out that he's going back to the SHL.
Fair. I mean, the guy's, like, 29. So
yeah, so it was kind of like I felt like the Rangers saw that coming, and they said let's just get some value, or let's just make a trade here and hope they don't realize he's not playing for them. I couldn't even tell you where I got traded to either. But we'll cover
I'm
it
sure we'll see point. It on we'll see it on the tracker, but
yeah
why don't we start on February 23rd? I mean, some of these Chris and I talked, we're gonna go through them quick, give like a really quick, like, maybe who won, very quick thoughts, and some of them, the bigger ones, we'll dive into a bit more.
Big trade on the 23rd. So Bruins pretty much solidifying their back end and getting another forward in the mix. And they have so many forwards now. They have enough guys to just go in and out of the lineup. It's kind of scary.
They have I think it seems like these moves preemptively, we're going to get to Bertuzzi later after this one, but it seems like we know this is probably the end for Bergeron and Krejci.
Yeah.
And we're going all in, which I respect.
So the Bruins got Dmitry Orlov and Garnett Hathaway from the Capitals in a 3-team trade with the Wild. The Wild kind of brokeraging that deal. Wild get a 5th-round pick.
Bobby Orlov, as people have been saying.
Bruins acquire forward prospect Andrei Svetlakov. Wow, what a brutal name. So close, brother. So close. From the Wild, and the Capitals got Craig Smith, a 1st-round pick in the 2023 draft, 3rd-round pick next year, and the 2nd-round pick in 2025.
Lot, but it was a good move by Boston, man. Hathaway's got some good sandpaper. Orlov, I mean, I think the guy's got like 3 goals and 8 points in 4 games with them, which is kind of nuts.
Yeah, so I think the winner here is definitely the Bruins. You know, they got two of the
Caps did, though. I mean, hey. Can't complain.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense for them. They're not in a playoff spot. They're not in the playoff hunt. This will probably be the first time in a while. I don't think they made the playoffs last year either. Were they a wild card team?
Did they miss the playoffs last year?
I'm trying to think who the wild card team was.
No, I think they played Carolina and lost. But yeah, I mean,
Washington sounds about right. Like
they're going down the rebuild track.
Yeah, this is the first time in a long time they're not making the playoffs. I don't know, man. I think the good days are behind them.
Oh, 100%. I think this is probably the end for Laviolette. I mean, I like that they picked up the first. I mean, it was a good move overall. I mean, and just to do a quick point about Boston too, they can scratch whoever they want now on defense. They had
pretty much
Forsberg, Grizzlick, Clifton, and now they're talking about, oh, we can just give like McAvoy and Lindholm like rest days. Like, oof, that's crazy.
Yeah, they're pretty scary. Moving on to the 25th, short trade here, Kincaid from the Bruins to the Avalanche, from the Bruins for Bowers. Who cares?
A little bit of a bust, Shane Bowers.
The Kraftsoff deal, bigger trade here. The Jets got Niederreiter from the Preds for a second round pick.
Nice pickup.
Yeah, pretty much. What it'll probably be in the top nine. I don't think he'll play on the fourth line.
Yeah. Middle six. He's a good, great middle six guy. I have one point after you finish talking about this trade. Once you give your thoughts,
I got really nothing else. I thought it was a really solid trade. I didn't really see or think he was going to be trade deadline bait, but solid move by Winnipeg.
We're forgetting a big storyline that I totally forgot about that we can touch on very quickly. Barry Trotz is a general manager.
Oh yeah, holy smokes, dude. He's back.
I mean, for those totally out of the loop and under a rock, David Poile is retiring in Nashville after 30 years as their GM. He was the one who hired Barry Trotz back in 98, and now Barry Trotz is replacing him as the GM. He finally gets into management, man. That's going to be nuts to see what type of team he builds. I'm happy for him, though. It's a great, great spot for him. I mean, he built so much in Nashville. I know things didn't really end as he wanted, but, you know, he built a great future in Nashville. You won a cup in Washington, and now you get to live out your management dream, man. I mean, you don't see that too often. That's pretty sick.
I think we talked about it. I think I saw a story somewhere that he was looking to move into Isles management.
And I think that was all. I think it might have been a rumor. I don't know.
Yeah, it was definitely some rumor boy type stuff. But yeah, I saw that floating around that he was looking to get into Isles management. And Lou said, "I'm not retiring, motherfucker."
I mean, I know he's wanted to get into management besides coaching a original six team, so it's pretty cool. I mean, what was I going to say? Damn, I think it makes it very clear now that this was like an amicable split between the Islanders and Trotz, maybe more so Amaro and Trotz, even though anybody with a brain could have seen that. Everybody was like, oh, everybody outside the organization is like, oh, how did the Islanders fire Trotz, you idiots? It's very clear what the whole situation was now between his personal things and the fact that he wanted to get into management. So I think it's a great landing spot. I mean, I'm so happy for him. I think the Predators had an awesome deadline, which we're going to get to. It's just going to be awesome to see what type of winner he builds there in Nashville. And like, what are the moves Trotz is going to make? Because he kind of said in his press conference, or maybe he said it in a quote, in he might have been on a radio show in Canada. He was like, for a lot of times in Nashville, I was like an offense first coach. Like, I was wanting to put the structure in, but I also let my guys have some offensive freedom. And that just wasn't the case with the Islanders through the personnel. So very curious to see what he builds there. It's going to be pretty sick, I think.
Yeah. Some weird trades after the Niederreiter stuff. So the Stars traded Evgeny Dadonov to Montreal in exchange for Denis Gurianov. Just a weird
Russian trade. I mean, I think it made sense for both teams. Gurianov, good moments, but just never put together there. I mean, he scored the goal to get him to the Stanley Cup final. So, hey, it's got to be worth something.
Fair enough. The Knights acquired Ivan Barbashev from St. Louis for forward Zach Dean.
Fair.
Good trade. Fair trade.
Another first round pick out of Vegas.
Mm-hmm. And then Colorado Avalanche, they acquired their man, Jack Johnson from the Blackhawks.
Hey, he's coming Stanley home. Cup champion, Jack
Johnson. He's coming home. Yeah. I mean, what a weird fucking trade. Not even a weird trade. Just like you said to me, I was like, what the fuck, dude? Like, why? Yeah, really. Like, why'd you just fucking re-sign him then?
I think his stats this year are like ludicrous, by the way, because the poor guy was, he's not great to begin with, and he's playing at Chicago. Yeah, he had 58 games, 4 assists, and minus 25. Not great. Not great.
And then the trade that I think shook the NHL to its core, because everyone was waiting to see where he went. And I think we could both agree we were disgusted by this trade. Absolutely disgusted. I want the New Jersey Devils to be investigated for literally anything. Literally anything and everything, because there's something going on there. It's Timo time in New York. Yeah, Timo Meyer. He's with the Devils. So this is a lengthy one. New Jersey Devils acquire.
I cannot wait for this, please.
Timo Meyer and Timur Ibrigimov. Ibrigimov.
That was pretty good.
Ibrigimov. I think we're close there. Scott Harrington, not even going to try that one. Zachary Emmons and a fifth round pick.
Santeri Hataka, I think.
Hataka.
Probably wrong.
Santeri Hataka. and goalie Zachary Edmund for and a fifth round pick in 2024 from San Jose for and then just a bunch of fucking prospects in New Jersey's system. And a conditional first round pick in this year's draft, a conditional second round pick in 2024, and a seventh round pick in 2024. So my initial thoughts, New Jersey, I feel like committed highway robbery here.
I think that's fair. Especially they re-sign them. Which is TBD.
Cool. You know, fuck it. Who cares? Yeah, sign Timo Meier. Get Brat's out of there. Sign him.
Yeah, exactly.
Fucking sign him.
It's just such a weird move because it's like it's almost like say you had the ability to add 10 things to like your NHL GM mode trades. It's like you keep adding these like middling pieces. And I don't want to call them like I'm gonna butcher this name. So sorry in advance to these two players. Like Makama Deline was a first round pick. Okayuk was a second round pick. They're good, but like really for a 26-year-old RFA 40 goal scorer seems kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, how none of their top level prospects like Luke Hughes or you know even Mercer, Holtz,
somebody
like Holtz, how are none of these
Holtz
guys?
Holtz is the guy, right? Like you figure Holtz had to be the guy there.
I just don't get it. And yeah, totally, I mean, like it makes sense for the Devils since they're a playoff team. They're looking to make a push.
Go ahead. I need to cut you off.
it just feels like the timing's weird because even if it's if they win the cup, then this was the move that helped them win the cup, then sure, yeah, great move. But like if they're a first or a second round exit, he doesn't re-sign. It just kind of feels like it just feels like a weird trade to make. Kind of felt like it's your first go at the playoffs in what, like 8 years or something.
They had that one run with Taylor Hall, but yeah, that's like
2016-17.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
so I mean,
is, though, I don't know how high risk it is because you know, you trade a first, that's fine. You know, you trade Makama Deline and Okayuk and maybe another conditional pick. Your defense, though, you're trading two defensive prospects for this elite goal scorer who's an RFA who you can flip, quite frankly, for more pieces if you really have to keep Brat. You have Nemec, Hughes, Hamilton, Graves, John Marino's still young. He's playing great. Like Siegenthaler is young. He's locked up long term. That's six right off the jump, right there, man. I mean, it feels like it's just so weird that they didn't get a top prospect for it.
Yeah, I definitely think. Hopefully, this is a lesson that Greer learns in San Jose.
Yeah, not a good start, man.
definitely not. What else was I going to say? Yeah. So from the Devils' perspective, yeah, it just feels like a weird trade for them just because it's your first go at the playoffs again. And this kind of feels like this is the move. We'd win the cup. Sure.
He's a UFA, but he's an RFA. That's my thing. Here's the thing. Is Brat a UFA or is Brat an RFA? Let's see.
He's younger, so he's got to be an RFA. I think he's only 24.
Yeah, he is. Let's see. Oh, he's born a few months before me. Let's see, expiry status. Yeah, they're both RFAs, so that to me makes it feel like a less of a risk move. Even if you don't get as much value for Meyer or Brad if you trade them over the summer, you're still getting stuff back. I mean,
yeah,
UFA, I think it was a little bit more risky, but an RFA, man, good for the Devils, I think.
Yeah, I mean they're gonna be good come playoff time, I think. On the offensive and defensive side of the puck. Their goaltending's trash though.
Really? I thought Vanacek was doing good this year.
He's fine. I just don't think he's great.
It's gonna be one hell of a series between you two.
All the Devils fans. It's gonna be hell on earth.
Do it from the personal account, please.
Yeah. I think my tweets were pretty. My tweets during games are pretty tame. They're just caps, me screaming.
I'm just messing with you.
Yeah, it's just generally live reactions. The live third period. I never go after anyone. I usually just tweet, and then I'll be like, when the Rangers are getting fucking pumped, then I'll be like, it's over. Fucking fold.
Sell the franchise.
I'll tweet like, oh my god, there's hope, and then 2 minutes later, be like, it's over. Turn the fucking TV off. where it gets spicy is the live third period watches. Those always, bringing those back this year. Those were fun.
Could you imagine we had like Islanders Rangers playoff series and we did like dual screen? It'd be hell.
Oh.
Hell, you know, I can't wait for the live streams again. That would be fun.
I hope they like scatter the games so we're on opposite days, so you can hop on and you can do your third period live stream.
I don't know if I'm gonna do that, but
And then another trade that happened on the 26th was the Lightning. Just I don't know what they traded for Tanner Jeannot from the Predators in exchange for Cal Foot, a conditional first round pick in 2025, a second round pick in 2024, a third, fourth, and fifth in the 2023 draft. I mean, five fucking draft picks and one of their defensive former prospects. First round pick.
He's been in the league. I mean, I get it. It's a very Goudreau, Coleman-esque move. Jeannot's a little bit worse, but he's a little bit younger, under team control. I get it. It's the type of move that – it's the type of move – yeah, you're right. It's the type of move that Tampa is going to – this guy's going to score like the game six winner to put them into the Eastern Conference final. I get it. But to trade a whole draft for him, that seems a little wild.
What do you think that call was like when he was like, wait, hold on. We're talking about this Tanner Jeannot.
Yeah, right. You're like, man,
you're offering what?
I can't move Forsberg for that. Oh, it's like Tanner Jeannot.
Are you sure you're not saying Matt Duchene pretty weird? No. Okay. Yeah. I agree to this. Like,
nuts, bro.
And then the Predators also traded Isaac Ratcliffe from Philly in exchange for future considerations. So good luck to future considerations.
moving on again.
Philly sucks.
Oh, did you see what D'Angelo did tonight?
No, I did not.
He totally speared Corey Perry in the not so nice region. Terrible.
Did they call it?
I didn't see much beyond that. It sounded like a scrum after the play, but it was pretty bad.
Who was it? Kuznetsov speared Hedl when the Rangers played the Caps, and it was just – they didn't even give him a major. It was just, I think – or, yeah, they just give him a two-minute minor. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? All right, Toronto traded for Jake McCabe, forward Sam Lafferty, and a conditional fifth in 2024 and a conditional fifth in 2025 from the Blackhawks. Didn't really give much up.
I think you're reading that trade wrong, by the way. I'm reading it wrong. Sorry. Go ahead.
For I think a couple prospects in Toronto's system, and then a conditional first round pick in 2025 and a second round pick in 2026. So I like Jake McCabe.
And they retained half on McCabe. That's huge. So yeah, 2.5 now for two more years. That's nuts.
I like McCabe. I had him in my my franchise mode for a couple seasons in the NHL 22. So. I think he's a solid defenseman
too. Yeah, I mean to get him on an extended term with retention is great. Even if you give up a first, but as we will see in the next few trades, perhaps the theme of the trade deadline is Kyle Dubas trying to save his job.
Pretty much.
Hopefully,
they have to win. They have to get out of the first round
at least one.
Even he will be fired within seconds if they are not out of the first round. I think might actually keep the cameras rolling at like that, not on the ice, but they'll go to whatever box he's in because the owners are going to be firing Dubas live on TV.
Yeah, I mean, if they lose in the first round to Tampa, which is entirely possible, I may add, it's over. It's over.
Who would fire Dubas? Would it be Shanahan or is the owners?
I guess it might technically be Shanahan. Dubas' contract is expiring. Honestly, they should fire Shanahan too. The guy's done nothing.
And then you see the owners walking down into the locker room and Keefe. They're in a box to Keefe as he's walking back.
They give Matthews a Kachina jersey. It's really blown up. Yeah, I don't know. I can see them being Tampa, but we'll see. Especially with these acquisitions.
I'm not going to cover this next trade because it really doesn't matter. Carolina Hurricanes acquired Jesse Puljujarvi from the Oilers in exchange for rights to be unassigned draft choice forward Patrick Puistola. I think Puljujarvi, he's been like in trade talks for Edmonton for like 4 years now. I'm surprised Edmonton finally moved on with him. I thought it was going to happen years ago, but it just never did. Yeah.
Basically, Puljujarvi for free. Might as well take a waiver on him, you know, see if Rod the Bod can do something.
Yeah, and I think this is like one of the only moves that the Hurricanes made besides Gothis.
Very surprising.
Yeah, you see what Chicklets was talking about today too. You know, they're in this top six. Boston made moves. The Devils made moves. The Rangers made moves. Toronto made moves. The Leafs made moves. And the only moves that the Canes made was this and Gothis Bear. And I'm kind of like, that doesn't really – you must really have confidence in this team. But it's going to kind of blow up in their face if they're a first or second round exit. Nothing really. The next trade, no. Minnesota Wild acquired Marcus Johansson from the Caps in exchange for a third round pick in 2024. So Minnesota was pretty active. And Billy Guerin was pretty funny to watch during.
You see him running around.
Yeah, he's making good clips. Yeah, it's pretty funny.
He's such a bro, I feel like.
He's a huge Lego guy, apparently, too.
Oh, really? Where
you know? Yeah, big Lego guy. Caps acquired.
This was an interesting one.
Caps acquired defenseman Rasmus Sandin from the Leafs in exchange for defenseman Erik Gustafsson and a first round pick in 2023. Yeah, I don't know. Weird trade for.
It's weird, but it makes sense for both teams. Like, or does it not make sense for both teams? Right, because Toronto has too many defensemen with McCabe now. So you move on from Sandin. Is Washington really in the position to give up a first right now? Maybe not, especially in a deep draft, but Sandin's only 23 and a really good defenseman. So why is Toronto giving him up? Why is Washington giving up a first? Maybe it all makes sense. I could see it. It makes sense to me for both teams.
Yeah, I don't know. especially because like Toronto still has Hall on the team, so I don't know why you would trade Sandin and keep Hall. Maybe they kept him just because he's the whipping boy and you know it takes
it's a foul point.
It takes the blame off of everyone else because just blame Hall. You cover the Engvall trade to the Islanders. So they also got Luke Shen. The Toronto got Luke Shen from the Canucks a third round pick in 2023. Yeah, he's back. He has returned.
It's one of those, you know. I think it's better said for forwards when they hit people, but sometimes, in my personal opinion, when a defenseman leaves the league and hits like Luke Shen does, probably means that you don't have the puck enough in your own end. That's all I'll say.
This is a prospect trade from the Rangers. Oh, this was an interesting trade. Edmonton Oilers acquire Matthias Ekholm and a sixth round pick in the 2024 NHL draft from the Predators in exchange for Tyson Barrie, forward Reed Schaefer, a first round pick in 2023, and a fourth round pick in 2024. Interesting trade here. I wasn't expecting Barrie to get traded from Edmonton. But I think it's a good trade for the Oilers.
He's got turned too. Oh my God. Trevor Zegras just scored one of the best goals I've ever seen. Anyway, go ahead.
I mean, Ekholm's a pretty good defenseman. So I think this is a solid trade for Edmonton. Solidifies, he'll probably get top 4 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, he might be on – well, yeah, I think they probably have Nurse on the top pair. But, yeah, I mean, you got Nurse and him as – I mean, Ekholm's that defensive presence for the next 3 years. I think this is the first year of his new 4-year deal, which is kind of crazy. But good for them. I like the pickup. But Barrie was weird, like you said.
Yeah, wasn't expecting it. Minnesota Wild acquired Gustav Nyquist from the Blue Jackets in exchange for a fifth-round pick in 2023. Whatever. Didn't really care for it. Just kind of saw it and went, okay.
Yep,
Kane trade, the funniest trade in the deadline. The Blue Jackets acquire goalie Jonathan Quick and a conditional first round pick in the 2023 draft and a third round pick in the 2024 draft from the Kings in exchange for Vladislav Gavrikov and goalie Jonas Korpisalo. Solid trade for the Kings. I mean, like, they got two pretty solid players, but I mean, they pulled a page out of Vegas's book, and I mean, god damn, this guy won two fucking Stanley Cups in the Conn Smythe for you guys.
It's like your franchise hero, and
he's gonna get his number retired. He's gonna be included in the statue outside. It's gonna be Brown, him, Kopitar, like it's gonna like. And apparently, he was like, "I'm not even fucking going. Like, I'm gonna just fucking retire."
You didn't go to Columbus, yeah?
No, I mean, he's like, "I'm not going."
You know. I see the sense in LA. They need some of the money. They think the West is wide open to win, which it is, you know, fair enough. But Gavrikov already said he's testing free agency. And Corpus Allo is like good. He's not great. I mean, I guess you have to do it for the money, but to do all this, does LA really think they're going to win the cup this year by disgracing their franchise legend? Seems really seems really messed up. You're right. It really is so Vegas of them.
Yeah, I mean, they and just pulling up Corpus Allo's stats this year. Yeah, he's having an okay year. 12-11-3 on the year. A 9.13 save percentage. So decent, not great. Yeah, just a total dirty move by the Kings.
Colorado fan base too, by the way. Their fans were not happy with Rob Blake.
I could imagine.
Bro, I saw some guy in the replies to their tweet was posting his address. I was like, okay, we're going a little far, guys. But I mean, that's how mad they were. They were like, send hate mail to Rob Blake. Okay.
Colorado Avalanche acquire forward Lars Eller from the Caps in exchange for a second round pick in 2025. Yeah, Colorado is I think gearing up for the playoffs again. I think
they need a center so bad.
If they can just get healthy, I think who are they waiting on? Landeskog, has he played a game yet this season, or is he just come back?
Yeah, but he's
played. So yeah,
Johnston's hurt. Makar's got concussion problems. They've had some issues this year.
Yeah, definitely have some issues. So I don't know if they're going to make a deep run, but you never know. Colorado can do some dangerous things. Already talked about the Shane Gostisbehere stuff.
Pretty cheap for Gostisbehere.
In what was the one of the dumber trades.
This is so stupid.
The Canucks acquire defenseman Philip. I always suck at this name. Fronik, right?
Yeah,
Fronik.
You got it.
For a fourth round pick in 2023 from the Red Wings in exchange for a conditional first round pick in the 2023 draft and a second round pick in the 2023 draft.
That'll be the Anders pick.
So yeah, this is such a stupid move by Canucks. Why are you making this trade? And what's funny is I think Yzerman came out to media, or it was pretty much known before the deadline. He's like, I'm not buying anything. We're not in the spot to make the playoffs. We're not going to be buyers. We're going to sell. Patience, everyone. And if you're a Red Wings, if you're a Red Wings fan, you just trust the Yzer plan. Cause what they're building there is, I think, special. And what sucks is that, what they re-signed Larkin, and then like a day or two later, they trade for Tuesday. So, can't say patience and trust the Yzer plan and do that stuff. But I mean, it's kind of like Bertuzzi. Isn't he a free agent? So they could technically re-sign him over the summer if they really want to. And you locked Larkin up long term, which you definitely needed to do. But weird trade for the Canucks.
I know he's an RFA. Number one, he's having an outlier season. Like, he's all right. He's not great, Hronik. But why? Do the Canucks really think that they're going to be competing? Why are you trading? It's the deepest draft in decades. Oh. Why are you trading a first and second?
Yeah, that's cool. Was pretty fucking sick. Yeah, disgusting. Holy shit.
Seeing that line was kind of nutty. But yeah, ooh. I don't know why Vancouver is trading a first and a second at this stage. I mean, they're out of their minds. They are out of their minds.
A trade that we were fucking 4 months in the making and what was honestly pretty depressing for the Coyotes. the Senators acquire defenseman Jacob Trouba from the Arizona Coyotes in exchange for a first round pick in 2023, a second round pick in 2024, a second round pick in the 2026 draft. Kind of sucks. They waited way too long. They played their hand and they played themselves.
Happens fast. I mean, yeah, not great from Billy Armstrong. You know, I don't know about that one.
It's also kind of a risky trade for the Senators, because even though like Chychrun does have term and he's on a really nice contract, he's had five major surgeries since juniors. Facts. I think he had to get his shoulder done, his knee done twice, a couple other things. So it's like he's a very injury prone player. This year, so I mean, it's a little bit of a risk. So I mean, if he doesn't play a ton of games, Arizona gets all those picks, and they're just kind of building. So
they're stockpiled with picks for the next few years, though.
I'm not going to go over this next trade because I really don't care about it. The Golden Knights acquire Teddy Bluger from Pittsburgh Penguins in exchange for defenseman Peter, what is this, Di Liberatore?
I like Teddy Bluger. I don't know why they
traded him. Yeah, he's fine. I heard he's been fucking ass this year.
Oh, really? Maybe that's why.
Yeah, I heard he's been dog shit.
That'll do.
So yeah, that's why
he kind of needed to redo their whole bottom six, which they tried to do and kind of failed, but that's okay. They won five in a row, so what can I say?
Mr. Trade Deadline. I think this guy's been traded every year since 2018. Sharks acquired Vlad Namestnikov from the Tampa Bay Lightning in exchange for forward Michael Yzmont.
Spoiler alert, Namestnikov gets traded again. Crazy. I don't know. I like Yzmont. That's whoever Yzmont, is in. Sure. I don't know how to say it. Whatever you say.
I said Yzmont.
Yzmont. That sounds right, too. Whatever Tampa Bay does in their pro scouting department is genius in my book. I think he's a really good player. Sharks fans are very upset to lose him.
Yeah. I like Namestnikov when he was on the Rangers.
Oh, that's right. He was a Ranger. Wasn't he in the McDonough trade?
He was. yeah, it seems, but like the thing is, no one ever has anything bad to say. I think anywhere he goes, everyone just loves him.
They love him in Detroit. They like, but he's, like bring back Namestnikov.
Yeah, he's just kind of a journeyman. I think this is like the eighth team he's played for in like 6 years. I kind of feel for him though.
Facts.
And the Penguins acquire Michael Granlund from the Predators in exchange for a second round pick.
Don't know about that one. A lot of money for a pretty average to below average forward. $5 million for next year. Yikes.
I agree. Bruins acquire Bertuzzi. We kind of touched on that in exchange for a conditional first in the 2024 draft and a fourth round pick in 2025. Yeah, they just added to their already insanely deep team.
Yeah, because Taylor Hall is on LTIR now. So come the playoffs, you got Marchand, Bertuzzi, Hall on the left wing. That's just ridiculous.
It's nasty. The Arizona Coyotes acquire forward Jacob Voracek, a sixth round pick in 2023 from the Blue Jackets in exchange for goaltender John Gillis. Legend Voracek. He joins a pedigree of superstars.
So many great Blackhawks. Hossa, Datsyuk, Pronger, Kane. So many legends. It's a great starting lineup.
And then why the trade before was super funny. The Golden Knights acquired goaltender Jonathan Quick from the Blue Jackets in exchange for goaltender Michael Hutchinson and a seventh-round pick in 2025. And I so fucking need a Vegas-LA series.
Read my mind.
Because Quick will put them in the torture rack. He might not let a goal in. He might not let a goal in.
Oh, man, we need that series so bad.
The grudge that he has against this team, feed it to me.
Let me see if the playoffs start today. I don't think they'll be playing each other, but I'm curious how they could get to play each other. So it would be Vegas versus – who are they topping that? Yes,
it'd be a second-round matchup.
And then L.A. needs to beat Seattle. So neither of those are easy, but, man, that would be great. I'm so on board.
Hey man, I'm still banking on Seattle missing the playoffs, so anything's possible.
Are they? Let's see. They are at 78. I mean, they need Calgary to get really hot.
Yeah, Calgary's fucking it.
Calgary stinks. They've had two big wins the last two nights, but they've not been great.
I don't care for this next trade. This is kind of a. A relatively good trade. Edmonton Oilers acquire Nick Bjugstad and defenseman Cam Dineen from the Coyotes in exchange for defenseman Michael Kesselring and a third round pick in 2023. I like Bjugstad. Pretty solid.
Yeah.
Good player. Good trade for Edmonton. Ducks acquire Dylan Sakura from the Blackhawks in exchange for, who cares?
Those are guys you're 20 years in the franchise mode, and they're just
this random guy, faces. Who cares? this trade got Mark Wahlberg fucking ridiculously pumped up for some reason. I think because him and Ty Domi are really good friends, but it was just very strange.
Is Mark Wahlberg a Stars fan? I thought he was a Bruins fan.
He's a Bruins fan, but I just think he was in. I think he might have been in Dallas, but he's friends with Ty. I have no idea. The Stars acquire Max Domi and goalie Dylan Wells from the Blackhawks in exchange for Anton Khudobin and a second-round pick in 2025.
Good deal.
Yeah, fair deal. Trying to think. I think Colorado lost this, or they, yeah, Colorado lost against the Stars this weekend. I think they got pumped by the Stars this weekend. I was telling my dad, he's like, because they were talking about Max Domi, because Ty was in, I was at the game, and my dad's like, oh yeah, Ty was he liked fighting people all the time. I'm like, yeah, I'm aware. He's like, is this son any good? I'm like, yeah, if he asked me like 6 years ago, I'd have been like, yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah, he's such an interesting player.
Now I'm just kind of like, yeah, oh cool, it's Max Domi's on the ice. I'm like, I'm never scared when Max Domi's on the ice. Like, he's
kind of a good year in Chicago, but I guess maybe just because the ice time. You're right though, like. He doesn't scare me too much.
No. The Blues acquired Forup Jacob Vrana from the Red Wings in exchange for Dylan McLaughlin and a seventh round pick in 2025. It's weird to see just how Vrana
fall off.
Yeah, I mean, he was like the golden boy when the Caps won the cup. Yeah,
literally, you're right. That's a good point.
Got traded. I think what was he was included in that Mantha trade, right?
Trade 2 years ago, yeah.
And then yeah, earlier in the season, he gets put in the what is it the
player whatever program,
rehab program,
yeah, something like that.
And yeah, now Blues acquire him, so
makes a lot of sense for both teams. You know, Detroit gets out from $5 million next year. St. Louis is kind of retooling, so might as well take a shot on him for a year, right? Detroit didn't want exactly. him, so.
Yeah, exactly. The Devils acquire forward Curtis Lazar from the Canucks in exchange for a fourth round pick. Fine.
Cool.
biggest trade of the deadline. The Flyers acquire January 6th, Brendan Lemieux, and a fifth round pick in 2024 from the Kings in exchange for Zach McEwen. Yeah,
this was a
bad trade for Philly.
Philly's just really, they just have a bunch of upstanding characters on their team.
Pretty much. Did you see they also hosted a town hall meeting after the deadline and Fletcher Flyers. Got yes they hosted
oh, is that a where town that quote hall. Came from
I don't know. Well, there was the video of the town hall meeting. Fletcher comes out, he didn't even zoom in, he came out and he rained booze down on him. It was aggressive. He steps, it was like on a stage, so he steps out from side curtain and immediately everyone's using boo. Like, I mean, it was bad. I'm like, the timing could not have been any worse.
I know, you kind of feel for the guy. It's also like, imagine like you join a Zoom meeting and everybody just like boos you immediately. Like,
it was live.
I know. I'm just saying. Like, imagine. Like,
oh yeah, yeah. I mean, like, job. But the Zoom stuff. I mean, like, you could just mute your computer until like,
I know, yeah. like
a second pretend or two.
It doesn't happen.
You know you're gonna get booed, and you're like, ah, it's probably only last like 30 seconds, like live. Yeah, you're just like, oh god, no.
Just sit there and just wait. I mean, the Flyers is not trading JVR or any of their other unrestricted, so it's unbelievable. That's crazy. And then you sent me the quote. It's got to be real, right? It was real.
Oh my god, yes, dude! I totally forgot about that.
I forget who said it.
I'm pulling it up now because it was not too long. So Chuck Fletcher said out loud. So this guy, this guy Gray Davis at Judas Gray. He tweeted. I don't know how legit this is. It could all just be made up. I really fucking hope it isn't though. He said Chuck Fletcher said out loud that he has an app. This is on the 4th. Yeah, no, dude, this had to be at the fucking.
That's what I'm saying.
This had to be at the town hall. Holy shit! He has an app that he used to determine fair market value on trades. Full stop. He has an app doing his job. You can't make it up.
I mean, oh my god! I think he just puts it into fine trade on NHL 23.
Apparently, he had a move for our.
The whole there JVR were some teams. Trade, yeah.
There were some teams that wanted JVR, and it just never went through. And apparently, he did have a trade for Hayes. Apparently, Hayes to Carolina was like in the final stages, and the Carolina owner was like, "Fuck no."
A lot of money for Devin Hayes.
Yeah, and I think Philly would have held on to some salary, and they still said no.
Philly's got major problems.
Yeah, it's not getting any better anytime soon. So if you're a Philly fan, sorry, not sorry. Someone that I thought the Rangers could take a stab at if they didn't get Mott, but they ended up getting him. Penguins welcome back Nick Bonino from the Sharks in a three-team trade that includes The Canadiens, the Sharks acquire unsigned draft choice defenseman Arvid Henriksen and a conditional fifth round pick in 2024 and a seventh round pick in 2023 from Pittsburgh. And the Canadiens acquire defenseman Tony Sund and a fifth round pick in the 2024 draft from San Jose.
Outlandishly complicated trade for Nick Bonino.
Super complicated. The loser here has to be, I think Montreal got the worst. They got a really bad prospect. I saw someone tweet about it. Sund has just been awful wherever he's playing this year. Fifth round pick is just kind of whatever. But yeah, very complicated trade for Nick Bonino. And like you, what you alluded to before, Nemestikov got traded again. The Winnipeg Jets acquired him from the Sharks. And wait, hold on. So he went from Tampa to the Sharks, correct?
Correct. Yep.
Okay. For some reason, I thought he went to Sharks. Okay. So the Jets acquired him from the Sharks in exchange for a fourth round pick in 2025.
Fair enough. You know why couldn't? Never mind. I take that back. I was going to say something stupid, but I stopped.
Don't care for the next trade.
Next one.
Calgary Flames acquired Dryden Hunt from the Leafs in exchange for Zohorna. Apparently, I don't think it has happened yet, but if Hunt scores for the Flames, I think he's the first player in NHL history to score on four different teams in the same season.
Four this year?
Yes.
Because was he on the Rangers this year?
Yeah, I think started with the Rangers.
No way, bro. He started with the
Rangers. Went to Toronto and then just now part of the Flames. So there have been players that have been on four teams in 1 year, but he would be the first to score for all four teams he's been on in 1 year. So
look at that.
I'm hoping for a Dryden Hunt goal because who doesn't love a little piece of history?
At all of his last stints, he had one goal and zero assists. That would be some sick history. In the AHL.
I mean, that's like the perfect trivia question too. Like,
oh, such a good trivia question.
That's like a deep cut.
Write that one.
While you're looking that up, the Buffalo Sabres acquire, you saw him tonight, Jordan Greenway from the Minnesota Wild in exchange for a second round pick in 2023 and a fifth round pick in 2024. I think the Wild just wanted to get him out.
Sabres working out anymore.
I think it'll work for the Sabres for now.
Don Granato was his U18 coach, so there you go.
There you go. Minnesota also acquired Oscar Sundquist from the Detroit Red Wings in exchange for a fourth round pick in 2023.
Sundquist is a dog in franchise mode if you ever need a good bottom six forward. That's all I'm saying.
I might actually download NHL this weekend because I kind of miss it. You sent me that tweet yesterday about the cross-platform HUT stuff. So
I tried to start HUT and you have to go through this tutorial now, and it's just like so ridiculously long. So I'll do it one day.
Being that I play foot on FIFA now, I'm actually really interested in HUT because I didn't get it for a long time, but now that I understand it, I'm like, oh, this will be fun.
There you go.
I don't really care about the Kulikov trade.
Good for Pittsburgh getting out of Brock McGinn's contract. Jesus, that one stinks.
Yeah, he's been dog water this year too. Avalanche, Rangers, prospect trade.
There he is. There's Gustav.
There he is.
I thought Asplund, he's a good player. I don't know why. He's a good defensive guy. I don't know why Buffalo gave up on him, but I guess it just didn't work out. First seven,
yeah.
Good deal, Nashville.
Wagner, don't care about Rangers. Don't care about
this one. The Flames Coyotes was interesting.
Yeah,
the Richie brothers, first time brothers have been traded for each other.
I know that was kind of crazy. This is the first time it ever happened, but pretty cool.
Could you imagine, like, Nick Ritchie gets a call? He's like, oh, you're going to trade to Calgary. He's like, yes. Like, I can stay with Brett. And he's like, they're like, oh, about that.
Like, my fault, Ochi.
Like, do you think that, like, they were kind of like, I feel like I can imagine, like, Trey Living and Armstrong like, yucking up on the phone, be like, yeah, like, we should do this just for fun.
They definitely, like, the Ritchies definitely called each other. He's like, dude, I got great news. Dude, I got great news.
Poor guys. That's things.
And then I think the final trade of the deadline was Minnesota Wild acquired defenseman John Klingberg, who I had no idea was even talked about or being
terrible.
He stunk. Yeah, he was bad this year.
Poor guy turned down seven years, eight mil per from the Stars the year before his free agency. Sheesh.
So Anaheim got players and picks back, players and pick back. And that wraps up the deadline. So it was a crazy, crazy deadline. A lot of moves. Hopefully we continue to see this trend, moving forward. Nice. It was an awesome, awesome deadline. I got no complaints about it. I loved seeing all the moves. I definitely think the NHL got, there was a big shakeup and, it's going to be, it's going to be fun. Man. Yeah, the East got however difficult it was prior to the deadline.
It's pretty difficult already.
it was going to be tough getting out of the East, or getting out of the first couple rounds, especially in the East. Yeah, there's going to, and you've said it a bunch the last couple weeks, there are going to be a lot of unhappy fan bases. In the Eastern Conference.
Even front offices. I was just about to bring that up. You're right. Like, the 18 as it stands now, Boston, Toronto, Tampa, Carolina, Devils, Rangers, Islanders, Penguins. That's a lot of teams that think right now they could win the Stanley Cup. So that's seven of them going home very unhappy, which is wild.
And out of that bunch, too, there's a lot there. There's going to be a surprise first-round exit, I feel like.
I think you're right.
There's going to be a lot of teams who are really upset after that first round. There are going to be teams who are very upset at the second round, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. I'm sticking to my guns. The Cubs coming back to the East this year. I just don't see a way how it doesn't, unless each series is a 7-game series, and the East is whoever comes out of the East is like the dude in SpongeBob who's like, I have my bones are made of glass and my skin is made of paper.
It's honestly possible, which is the crazy part.
It's very, very well could happen.
Just beat up on each other for 12 games, 15 games. I mean, it's not easy.
But
Dallas just cruises in like, oh, da, da. Damn, it's going to be crazy. I can't wait for the playoffs. It's going to be sick.
It's going to be fun. I think this playoffs is going to be very fun.
Hopefully good fortunes for both of us.
I love the playoffs because the first round there's just games on every night. It's just so nice. You could just go from one game to the next every
great
night.
Games
it's,
too.
Yeah, they're all so fun. Especially the game. I love the playoffs because I don't love watching other teams play during the regular season because I'm just like, it doesn't matter. Like, who cares? But in the playoffs, I love watching other teams play because I'm like, I can watch a sport that I love to watch. And I don't have to root for anyone. I can just kind of, and like, even though like I sometimes do while I'm there, like like a team that I like gets scored on, I'm like, oh fuck, come on, we gotta come back. Yeah. And I'm like, who cares? Why am I even why am I even saying this?
That's the thing. It's like there's such great games, and like you're invested, and it's like it's sick hockey, but a team scores, and it's like, oh, okay, like whatever. But meanwhile, like when the Islanders are in the playoffs, like I'm literally sitting on the edge of my couch, legitimately like shivering to a certain extent. And I'm so nervous.
It could just be like the East Coast bias. When the weather starts getting nicer during like the work week, I don't give. I'm staying up, dude. I don't care. I love the late night games.
Facts. That is.
It's
facts.
Just me sitting in my living room, pitch black. Maybe like windows one open. One light on. Yeah, window open. I'm scrolling on my phone. Game's on. I'm like, I'm living my best life.
Doesn't get better than that. Does not get better than that. That's so factual.
I got nothing else. We're not doing player of the week because we walked through this entire trade deadline.
That was a fire episode. If people want to listen to this, I honestly doubt anybody's going to get to this point. But if you do, you're a real one. This was a fire episode, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I've been saying it for the past couple of weeks. All these episodes we've been recording are red hot.
I feel like we're really hitting our stride. You know, I feel like we're really settling in three seasons in. We're on it. We're out.
Yes, sir. So yeah, like Kevin said, thank you for listening. If you have made it this far, we do appreciate it. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. We're on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, Anchor app, if you want to listen to us there. Leave us a 5-star rating and write us a nice little review. Share it with your friends, your family, especially during the playoffs. It's going to be – the playoff content is honestly some of my best – my favorite content to do during the podcast season, especially because it was super fun last year when the Rangers were actually in the playoffs. So I had things to talk about for once.
We got it again this year.
Yes, sir. Make sure you follow the podcast on Twitter at From Broad to Bell. Kevin is pretty much becoming an Islanders legend on that account. So
I don't know what's going on over there, but I'm reclaiming my former Islander Twitter glory in at least little bits and pieces.
So yeah, make sure you follow us there. And yeah, make sure you're following, because I'm going to try to convince Kevin to do it. But I'm going to be doing the third period live streams during the playoffs.
I love it.
And yeah, that's about it. Kevin, you got anything else?
No, sir.
All right. So unless anything crazy happens, we'll see you guys in 2 weeks. Peace.